Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, TGIF. We have made it through another week. It is the 17th of February, 2023. Glad to have you along with you, with us on a Friday here. Mr. Aaron Zimmers, our producer engineer, is always on the board. Big, big Friday, Mr. Zimmers. Big guests in the house and online. It's going to go like that.
Oh, yeah. We got a nice big sheet of paper full of guests here with the schedule written on it.
It is. We are honored as our first guest coming up here at quarter past the hour. We have Brigadier General David May in his first sit-down interview, an exclusive with us here at Civic Media after, of course, the mission this past Sunday involving the 115th Air Wing based here at Truax Field in Madison as they were involved in shooting down that unidentified object. And he will be with us to walk us through as much as he can, but also to talk about the mission of the 115th and the Air National Guard in general. A great organization. Don't see behind the curtain too often, but General May will be here to talk about, top headlines, actually. Don't often we get guests here in the studio talking about national top headlines, but we are honored to have the General with us, and he'll be joining us here at quarter after. Of course, at the bottom of the hour, we have Michael Caro from Weatherology updating us on weather at the bottom of the hour at 8:30. Hour number two, Brady Ewing, of course, usually with this bi-weekly on Fridays at 8:30. But, you know, even an NFL former player knows enough to make way for a Brigadier General. So he pushed his segment back to his hour number two. So Brady will be with us in hour number two, talking a little bit about Super Bowl wrap-up from last week. But also, Brady, of course, played for the Badgers fullback and then went into the draft and was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. So he's going to talk to us a little bit this morning about what it takes. Some of these Badgers now, or now former Badgers, preparing for the NFL draft. What is it really like to be a part of a team and prepare for the NFL draft? Brady will be with us in hour number two at 9:30. And then at 10:15, I'm really excited about this. I'm most excited to have the General here, but to have Matt Flynn live from Matt Flynn directed hour number three, 10:15. Matt, I called him last night and we texted. I said this breaking news in the New York Times last night regarding this lawsuit with Fox News and the voting machines. And it's really about, you know, a corporate lawsuit. But what was revealed last night in the New York Times is many of the anchors in the depositions for this lawsuit, the kind of the secondary thing that came out, which is now the big story of the day, in these depositions, several texts and emails between prominent Fox News anchors reveal that they actually knew full well that Trump lost in the 2020 election and still spread what they spread on the air. So Matt Flynn will be with us to talk about kind of the implications, the legal implications in this in hour number three.
Well, he's going to have a lot to say about that. That's for sure.
I know he will. He will, absolutely. And of course, we have board game of the week with Mr. Zimmers himself. And yes, it's Friday. That means Mimosa Friday to round off the show. What we are thankful for on this Friday. So a big show. Let's get into it at 9 past the hour of 8 o'clock. Here are your weather forecast headlines for you on this Friday. Today in the RC, Richland Center, WRCE in Richland Center. News from the center. Sunny skies today. A beautiful day, a high of 27. Tonight, mostly clear and breezy, a low of 22. Saturday, start of your weekend, mostly sunny, high of 42 tomorrow. Up in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, WXCO Radio. Sunny skies today, a high of 24. Then for tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 19. Tomorrow, Saturday, partly sunny, a high of 34 in Wausau. Amory, WLAK Radio in Northwest Wisconsin this morning, partly sunny. It'll be breezy in the afternoon, a high of 25. Breezy tonight, mostly cloudy then, and 17 in Amory. And tomorrow, Saturday, partly sunny at a high of 35 degrees. Those are your weather forecast details. Here's what you need to know, news headlines for you on this Friday, the 17th of February, 2023. President Joe Biden yesterday said his administration still does not know, quote-unquote, exactly what the mysterious objects over North American airspace were, but there's no indication that they were tied to China's spy balloon program or surveillance details from other countries. U.S. intelligence officials have said the objects were most likely balloons tied to private institutions or research. Separately, Biden underwent a routine physical yesterday, and his physician said he remains healthy and vigorous and is fit to successfully execute the duties of the presidency. Again, Brigadier General David May will be in just a minute after the break and talk about the mission locally here in Wisconsin, how that fit into what's been happening nationally with these unidentified objects. Earthquake survivors, at least three more people have been pulled alive from the rubble of a devastating earthquake 10 days after it was struck parts of Turkey and Syria. A rescued 17-year-old was dubbed the Miracle Girl when she was found alive underneath debris in Turkey on Thursday, 248 hours after the February 6th quake. Her rescue was later followed by that of two others, ages 30 and 12, who told rescuers that there were more people buried nearby.
Well, thank goodness they haven't given up.
Absolutely. Ohio Toxic Train Now state and federal officials held a news conference yesterday in East Palatine, Ohio, as residents expressed frustration about the response to a train carrying potentially deadly materials that derailed in their town nearly 2 weeks ago. Michael S. Regan, the head of EPA, aimed to reassure residents that authorities are focused on keeping them safe. Regan said, adding that the EPA plans to hold the train company Norfolk Southern accountable for its role in the derailment. Ukraine now. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky has ruled out ceding any territory in a potential future peace deal, saying it could lead to Russia keep coming back, he told the BBC News. We'll keep abreast throughout the show on that as well. And in memoriam, famed broadcaster Tim McCarver, who also won two World Series during the long Major League Baseball career, died yesterday of heart failure. He was 81 years old. Back with General May in an exclusive interview after this on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Show of the Civic Media Radio Network. Time is now 8:15, quarter after the hour, at the time of the temperature sign. Glad to have you along with us on the Civic Media Radio Network on this Friday. And very honored to have our first guest live and in studio. Not often we get a lot of people in studio, first and foremost, but not every day you get a Brigadier General joining us live. We appreciate that. General David May, who is the commander of the Air Wisconsin Air National Guard. Thank you, sir, for being with us. We appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Yeah, it's my absolute pleasure, and thanks for the walk-up music. Like that's it's like a dream come true.
we ask all of our guests, you know, what you want.
Yeah, and you know, I couldn't think of a better, it's got that Friday morning spirit to it, I think.
I think so too, absolutely. Now, when you're flying, do you get like certain music in your, you get to listen to music like while you're preparing, like stuff that really gets you going? I did not know that.
I'm not a pilot, and very often wish that I was, and sometimes I'm glad that I'm not. But obviously, love of aviation in the Air Force has led me to spend half my life doing this.
You're responsible, sir, for, according to your bio here at Wisconsin Air National Guard, 2,300 Wisconsin Air National Guard members, and you serve as a deputy adjutant general for Air to Brigadier General David, the adjutant general, rather, of the state of Wisconsin, who, of course, answers to Governor Tony Evers. What led you here? Kind of what's your background a little bit? There's one thing in particular I want to ask you about, but just kind of tell people what it is that led you to this point.
Sure. Yeah, great question. So I'm actually born and raised here. Grew up in Middleton, went to Middleton High School, and later in life, 26 years old, decided, because I didn't really know what I wanted to do, decided to join the military. It's something I knew I always wanted to do, and it was kind of a four-year plan to just sort of find my way in life, and 27 years later, here I am. So about half my career, active duty, going all over the country, and around the world, and then I found my way back home to the Wisconsin Air National Guard in 2009, and have just been blessed with a numerous amount of opportunities ever since, with a variety of positions, and ultimately being fortunate enough to do this one. So very grateful for that. I pinch myself a little bit every morning, wondering, how did this come to be? It's pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the things I thought was really interesting, you have a degree in music.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's extraordinary. Was it vocal or instrumental?
Instrumental. So I was a percussionist. So that was sort of plan A.
All right.
And then
you
I think
be a drummer.
Yeah. And so at some point, I think I realized how much musicians actually can make or not. And so plan B was, well, what else do I think I'd want to do in life? And actually, a career in music, in a lot of ways, in a strange way, prepares you for life in the military. Mm-hmm. I mean, the discipline, the communication skills, the ability to deal with stressful situations, like a lot of that just seemed kind of second nature.
Did you tour the band?
Not necessarily touring, no. Right. I mean, I played in a variety of bands here in Madison when I was growing up, and then in college I did a variety of orchestral gigs and a lot of freelance kind of work.
Wow. That's
never really, really cool. Committed to one band to go tour with, because that takes up an extraordinary amount of time.
Yeah. So you were in Volk Field, correct, before you came down to Madison at Truax, or oversaw the entire operation?
That's right. Yeah, I was the commander of Volk Field for almost 4 years, and that was really a dream assignment. When I first got here in 2009, I thought, wow, that would be like the best job I could possibly have here. And what an opportunity. It's a nationally renowned training center. We get units from all over the country, you know, 20,000 plus service members, over 200 units a year, just doing amazing things up there that in many cases you can't do anywhere else.
It's a wonderful opportunity. I worked for a Wisconsin Congressman, Scott Klug, based here in Madison for about 5 years, handled military affairs for him, had the honor and pleasure to work with the fine folks. I never served, one of the deep regrets of my life, but just being around folks that did and be able to kind of be a support person for that was deeply meaningful. And then worked for our state senator, Dale Schultz, who represented Volk Field and Juneau County and Camp Douglas for a number of years. So I had the honor to be on that base a couple of times as well. It's if once in a while you have these public days when you invite the public in, and I would just say, if when that comes up and you hear about it, go, because it's super cool, and you just don't know what happens until you see it live and in person.
That is so true, and that's such an amazing part of the state. You know, my wife and I lived up in that area during the time I was commander up there, and we loved the culture and the opportunities. But then there's just the things that you don't generally know about, including the amazing airspace that we have over Volk Field. And in our bombing and gunnery range up at Hardwood, things that a lot of Wisconsinites don't know about. I mean, I grew up here and had only a fleeting knowledge that there was a National Guard here.
Right.
And in reality, Wisconsin has its own little hometown Air Force with a lot going on.
Well, and that's a great transition because, yeah, it's you see, I grew up in Richland Center, so our family farm was up on top of a ridge. And, you know, for years, you saw the 115th doing air missions up there all the time and training. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Kind of over the years, it's been a little bit controversial, and not everybody has understood the mission. But speaking about kind of a small town, quote unquote, air operation that suddenly became an international sensation, I know for you folks, not overnight, but for a lot of people, we all kind of seen the news lately, General. The Air National Guard service members were crucial in shooting down the unidentified object over Lake Huron this past Sunday. There's a lot of speculation on social media about what these objects are and what they're not. The president yesterday saying that he did not believe, or at least I'm sure he knows, but what he was telling the public yesterday is he does say that they're probably not related to the first incident involving what was, I believe, confirmed to be a Chinese spy balloon, basically. But he's saying that these are not that. He didn't go into a lot of other detail. I know that you're limited to what you can discuss on the air. You obviously report to people at the Pentagon and Department of Defense. But what are you able to discuss in terms of what was this? You know, what was it, a balloon? Was it balloon-like? Was it something else? What can you share with us this morning?
So I really can't share anything in addition to what the president already talked about. And on Sunday, there was a press conference. General Van Herk, the commander of the North American Aerospace Defense Command, otherwise known as NORAD, and his counterpart in the Defense Department, Secretary of Defense, Melissa Dalton, they covered everything that we can talk about. I don't have anything to add to that. Our part of this mission was to be ready if called to do any variety of things, and I'm assuming that other people with other specialties are helping the federal government figure out what was going on.
I think we played audio, I believe, earlier in the week. We'll do it later on, not during the interview, but there was actually some audio of one of your pilots. So when they encountered this in the air that was put out, I thought that was fascinating. We talked about on this show earlier that part of the reason that more of these objects are being kind of picked up is that the radar is being tuned in more. That's Todd's term, not a military term. But essentially, we're seeing more. I think that's the president talked about yesterday. It's just that we're looking for more things. And so, you know, that's why some of these incidents occurred. I know you probably can't go too deep into the details of that specific mission on Sunday, but can you kind of walk us, our listeners, through the general process? Not about this specific mission on Sunday, although I'm sure there are parts of that would be incorporated in the general part, but the flight crew completes the mission. And then what does it take from a support ground perspective? Because that's something I've had the honor to see up close, to make the aircraft flight ready and wheels up.
Yeah, it's amazing how much goes into it, and it's absolutely a team effort. So obviously we as we say, generate aircraft from our base, and it starts at the front gate. And the base has to be secure, so we have security forces folks at the gate. We have to have all the logistics in place. You know, it's a small city that's operational to some degree all the time. 24-hour, you know, communications capability so that we're always in touch with the people we need to be in touch with. But think about it in terms of several parallel efforts. When we know we're going to launch an aircraft, numerous groups of people are doing a variety of things. So when the moment comes that we need to launch an aircraft, everything is ready. The air crew will step through a variety of things, you know, from getting their flight equipment together to briefing, pre-briefing, talking about the mission, talking through safety, talking through all the airspace considerations, and then having had a couple backseat rides in an F-16, actually walking through the process, literally walking through the process, all the people that you meet from the time you get on the base to the time you get into the jet is amazing. Yeah. You go from one transition point to the next, and there's a group of professionals at each step of that phase making sure everything's ready. You know, the jet's fueled. The weapon systems are working, the computers are working on the aircraft, the airfield's ready, the coordination with the Dane County Regional Airport is, you know, all of that is a team effort that's going on in parallel leading up to the moment where the jet launches. It's just amazing.
Now, are you able to tell us, maybe the numbers are classified, you can't give us specific numbers, but in round numbers, about how many, you know, ground support does it take to get one pilot up in the air? I mean, all the people involved around that individual.
Boy, that's a good question. So we have over 1,000 people stationed at Truax. The number of people that are directly tied to the aircraft itself, you know, would be potentially in the hundreds.
Wow.
But I would say every person on the base has a job that's critical. If one person's not doing their job, there will be an impact at some point. You know, the pilots got to eat, they got to get paid, as does everybody else. I mean, at some point, the machine stops if it's not a full team effort. And as a non-flyer, I'm sensitive to that because yeah. I've been in the human resource realm in the military for most of my career, and there are some lesser appreciated career fields. But if everybody's focused on the job at hand, which in the Air Force is usually getting aircraft in the sky, then it's a full team effort and we get it done.
I think anybody that's flown out of Dane County Regional Airport at times, you've been sitting on the tarmac or getting ready to take off on your commercial jet, and you see the cool F-16s, you're like, oh, that's cool. You know, you think to yourself, oh, you know, some pilot just showed up a couple of hours ago and hopped on, and there they go. It looks really cool. You have no idea the hours that it takes and the individuals surrounding that pilot and that aircraft.
Absolutely. And, a typical training day for an air crew, like at the exercise that we host at Volk Field, Northern Lightning, that pilot will be engaged doing something for 12 to 15 hours. Mm. It is a super long day. By the time you start the pre-brief all the way to the post-brief and all the after-action review, it is a super long day, and they've got a whole bunch of other people along there with them.
We'll pick up on this after the weather and break coming up here. But I know many listeners may be aware of the 115th deployment to active duty missions overseas. We've seen that before. But are you able to discuss, is this the first time on Sunday that the 115th has been called upon to complete what I'm calling a live mission here at home?
So we've occasionally been asked by NORAD to support a variety of missions. And we've, in every case, have been trained and ready to do that. So it's just a matter of whether we get the call or not, but we're ready either way.
Has to make the pulse run a little bit when you get the call, right?
Sure. Yeah, it's always exciting. Always exciting. Yeah.
It absolutely is. Excited to have you here, sir, this morning with us. This is Brigadier General David May. He is the commander of the Wisconsin Air National Guard. He will come back on the second part of this segment and talk a little bit about these missions, the training missions that go on in Southwest and Central Wisconsin. Controversial a little bit over the years, but talk a little bit how that training related to what happened on Sunday. And also maybe a little music as well. We'll see.
Awesome.
General David May is our guest. Thanks for joining us. This is the Todd Allball Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us. Back after this. Show. It is 8:30 on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're glad to have you with us. Brigadier General David May, commander of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, is our guest this hour, and we will get back to the interview with him in just a moment. But a day like today, General, it'd be fantastic to fly, right? Near a 10-mile or more visibility.
Would. It would. Or we could just stay in here and listen to classic rock music.
Or we could do that.
Also a good option.
See, that's the difference. A guy who sees this every day, he'd rather listen to rock music. I'm like, put me in, coach. Let me watch these things take off, you know. We're going to do a little weather forecast, first of all, right now, and find out what the weather is from a weatherology meteorologist, Michael Caro. Michael, good morning to you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just great.
We have a general in the house with us this morning. Can you tell us what the conditions are if we were flying out today, either at Avery, Wausau, or Richland Center? What's the forecast look like today, Michael?
Yeah, looking pretty nice out there, pretty much across all of the state of Wisconsin here for today, with ample amounts of sunshine thanks to a high-pressure system building in from the west for today. Still a touch shy of average temperature-wise, at least for today, but we do look to climb back above average for your weekend. Pretty much 20s statewide for those high temperatures, maybe close to some upper 20s into west-central portions of the state by this afternoon. And winds not overly breezy yet for today. They'll be eventually switching more to the south and southwest in that 5 to 15-mile-per-hour range. Then for tonight, under partly cloudy skies, those overnight low temperatures looking to stay confined to the upper teens and lower 20s. By the time we get to your Saturday, though, as the warm frontal boundary works in from the west, we're back into that above average category as far as the temperatures. Areas like Amory close to the upper 30s, some mid-30s for Wausau, but could approach the lower part of the 40s for Richland Center there for tomorrow with partly sunny skies. Sunday, a very weak disturbance working in from the northwest brings a very slight chance for a dusting of some light snow or flurries for Amory and Wausau, staying dry across southern portions of Wisconsin, though. Sunday's high temperatures in the middle part of the 30s across the north, but working up well into the 40s for southern portions of Wisconsin. And again, a chance for a little bit of light snow with a weak clipper-type system headed on in for Monday, mainly across the northern half of the state. We're back to some lower 30s for high temperatures there, but still expecting some upper 30s for southern portions of the state. Not expecting any major snowmakers until probably about Wednesday and Thursday of next work week, as a strong area of low pressure looks to work in from the west during that time frame. Still quite a ways out in the forecast, but some probable snow amounts not out of the question there by Wednesday and Thursday of next week.
What's the deal, Michael? It seems like every Thursday we get a snowstorm, right?
I know, crazy. Yep, midweek snowstorms and then the chance to dig out for the weekend. So I guess it's good timing if you don't have to, you know, if you can work from home.
Exactly. A good day maybe to do some cross-country snow skiing, and if you're a pilot in the 115th, go for a fly on a clear day like this in Wisconsin, right?
Absolutely. Looking nice today and actually not too bad for much of your weekend.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Have a great weekend. Have a great day as well. Thank you. Michael Caro, Weatherology, you're very welcome. Looks like a great day across the state of Wisconsin to get out and do some outdoor winter activities. Brigadier General David May is our guest here on the first hour. It is an exclusive sit-down interview, the first interview he has done since the 115th carried out the mission over Lake Huron this past Sunday in shooting down one of those unidentified objects. President Biden yesterday in his remarks, saying that he did not believe on the intelligence that he had received, that they were connected directly to the Chinese spy balloon that was shot down over the Atlantic a couple of weeks earlier. Not necessarily going into great detail, other than not ruling out perhaps a commercial type of object in the sky or a private object, but didn't think there was any great danger to people on the ground. Of course, the one over Lake Huron, according to the Department of Defense and the president as well, it appeared to be an octagon type of shaped object, but we shall see what comes out of this. I think the cool part that we'd like to focus on, again, General May is limited what he can say here this morning by people above him. That's the way the military works, and we respect that and understand that. What I think is really interesting for our listeners, General, is to the whole process, the history, because it seems like too often one of the times that too often the times when the 115th comes up is during controversy, whether it's, you know, these training missions out in Southwest or Central Wisconsin, or whether the changeover to different aircraft here in Madison, and that we live in a democracy, great to have debates. But I think it's really important also to identify that things happen for a reason. And if you could, sir, if you're at liberty, could you help our listeners understand how the missions, the training missions that we see so often out over Richland County and Juneau and across Wisconsin, when we see those flights flying, sometimes they might rattle a dish or two. I personally think it's cool, but not everybody does. But how do those missions, sir, relate to the mission on Sunday, or a mission like that, a live type of mission?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I would say they relate directly. You know, the motto in the National Guard is always ready, always there. So being always ready, that's job number one. When we train, it's to be ready for whatever our assigned missions are. And flying the F-16, or, you know, we fly the KC-135 in Milwaukee. Whatever those mission sets are, it's our job to be mission ready when called upon. And with a mostly part-time force, that can be a challenge. Time is very limited, so our drill weekends and our other training periods and trips that we make around the country or around the world to train are incredibly busy. We're as I said, primarily a part-time force, so we're pulling people out of their full-time life, either maybe as a full-time student or a teacher or a business owner. Whatever it is, they're dropping all that to come train with us. Mm-hmm. And then when we need them to do a mission, they're dropping that again for probably a longer period of time to come do their guard duty. So we as the Air National Guard, we're the primary combat reserve of the Air Force, which mm-hmm. essentially means we need to jump in and be able to do our Air Force mission in a federal status whenever called upon. We also have a state mission as well. So day-to-day, we report to the governor. And we are on the ready to support whatever Wisconsin needs from us. And if you look past over the last 3 years, the Wisconsin National Guard in total did countless missions, countless days and hours of support to things that honestly we probably never thought we would do. But as was written back in the time, we were the Swiss Army knife. If you needed it, we probably had some of it. And in partnership with various state agencies, local agencies, you know, a huge partnership, we managed to get through it. But getting back more specifically to your question, yes, we fly and train in the airspace above, and we partner with our community. We're part of the community, so we make every effort possible to let people know when we're going to be flying. Sometimes we have to fly in the evening. Sometimes we obviously fly on weekends. That's when we train and have our drill weekends. But it's essential that we keep up with every phase of training required to meet our tasked missions. And we have this amazing set of circumstances here with our three bases, with our airspace to do that very efficiently. Mm-hmm. So you take off from Madison in an F-16, it'll take you about 6 minutes to get into the airspace. Wow. Where you can train. So you're only burning gas, not for training, for about 6 minutes. Over a generation, that's a lot of money that you're not spending on jet fuel. So that's a big deal. And then we've got the built-in assets of, as I mentioned before, the Hardwood Range and Volk Field and this complex of airspace that we have up above us that is really collectively something you really don't see quite like this anywhere else in the country.
But isn't that kind of the point, General, and not speaking directly to the mission that took place on Sunday, but in general, I mean, if you were to fly your training missions over the deserts of Arizona, when you're called upon to a live mission in the Midwest, doesn't quite equate, doesn't prepare you the same, correct?
So it's true. So, you know, one of the advantages of the National Guard is that we're dispersed. We're in every state in the nation, and so we're obviously a northern tier state here. So having a fighter wing and an air refueling wing in a northern state, especially at a time when we're paying a little more attention on the Arctic, and obviously we have other things going on. Super beneficial that we're here. Just right. In terms of proximity.
I won't ask you the question. I'll just speak for myself. When I see things pop up on my Twitter and it says there's restricted airspace over Dane County or over Door County suddenly on a Sunday afternoon, and the next thing I see is that the F-16s on a Truax have been scrambled, I'm thinking, hey, I'm thankful we got F-16s in Wisconsin. Yes. So I was thankful to see that, quite frankly, to see that we have that kind of defense system here protecting our state and our region. Going back to the mission of the overall mission of the 115th, again, just help people understand to touch on this one more time. When we see you all up in the air and maybe coming in a little bit low, people aren't, you know, pilots aren't buzzing cattle just for no, you know, to have their jollies. There's a reason that you train at those altitudes, correct?
Absolutely. And we do that within very strict parameters. And we always do it in a way to minimize or eliminate impact to people on the ground. You know, the restrictions, for example, on supersonic flight, and with the transition to the F-35, we'll be using and taking advantage of higher airspaces as well. So absolutely, there's no hot dogging involved. It's extremely controlled, and when an aircraft is up there, it's being watched by numerous professionals. Mm-hmm. And we have amazingly talented and disciplined people, and they're always trying to do the right thing and get the training mission done, and there's no extraneous maneuvers to cause anybody any issues.
Are you able to update us at all, General? I didn't ask this before, and if you're not able to talk about it, that's fine, but I know the transition to the F-35s. Are you able to update us all kind of what that process is?
Sure. The conversion has been going extremely well, and part of that success, I can say a big thank you to our local contractors that have been doing a huge amount of construction on the base. And they partnered with us extremely well, and that's moving along very quickly. We expect to see the first F-35s late April, early May time frame, and it'll take about a year after that for us to get our full complement. But I think in the end, the Air National Guard and the Air Force will see that our conversion process has set a standard. We're converting a little bit more quickly than some units in the past, and we're doing extremely well. We have such talented people at the fighter wing, and a great partnership with National Guard Bureau, with the Air Force, with Lockheed Martin all around. It's just been a fantastic effort to watch unfold.
Are you able to speak to, and it's okay if you can't, but are you able to speak to it? How does it kind of work? Is it like one day we're F-16s, the next day we're F-35s, or is there kind of a crossover during that time?
So it's a multi-year process. And as you can imagine, it's complicated.
Your pilots have to train for both, correct? Because so you don't get a fresh set of pilots.
That's correct. So we have aircraft maintainers and pilots dispersed all over the country, and they've been so for a couple of years now, training and essentially making that conversion in their capabilities to the F-35. Mm-hmm. So and they'll be sort of feathered back in as we get the aircraft. So we don't want to bring the pilots back until there's actually something to fly.
Right.
And then the maintainers need to come back when there's actually something to fix. And interestingly, you know, some career fields that we had for the F-16 don't exist with the F-35, but then they're replaced with some new career fields. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of retraining going on. And again, super complicated, a little bit messy, but it's being handled really well by the fighter wing professionals.
I've heard a lot of military and journalistic terms to describe what happened on Sunday. But the first one that popped into my head when I saw it in my Twitter feed was cool. That's the first thing I thought about. I think there has to be a sense of pride within the unit across the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs, Wisconsin Air National Guard, knowing that you all played a direct and key role in carrying out a mission that's received national and international importance. I mean, folks here in Wisconsin are a direct part of national security. Without going into details of what that is, just the fact that they were able to play a role in that, your folks, your crew, that has to be an enormous sense of pride.
Oh, there absolutely is. So the relevance of the National Guard, in my opinion, has gone up dramatically, maybe the appreciation of the National Guard, and this just accentuates that. Mm-hmm. I can tell you our organization is filled with people that want to do something important. Mm-hmm. They want to be, as much as it sounds like a bumper sticker, they want to be connected to something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. They may have joined for educational benefits or technical training, but they stay because of that, because mm-hmm. we have important things for them to do. So when we get to have a contribution like that, whether it's what happened on Sunday or with COVID or a deployment or whatever it is, there's an immense sense of pride. And I think the nation's awareness of our capabilities and our relevance has only gone up. So I'm thrilled to be part of this organization.
Brigadier General David May, the commander of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, is our guest. One more break. Come back and talk about what happens if you want to be a Top Gun pilot after this, the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Flying Over the Airwaves with General David May, the podcast soon to be on your podcast list soon. Maybe a side hustle, General David May doing a music podcast, you know?
We'll see. We'll see. Now I'm compelled. Might have to get out some thought.
I said during the break, he's very good at this. You know, a little podcast, you know, music, behind the scenes. You know, generals can be cool, too.
If you say so.
We think so, absolutely. General David May, the commander of the Wisconsin Air National Guard, is with us in our exclusive interview, first sit-down that he has granted since the incident on Sunday involving the 115 fighter wing that shot down one of the unidentified objects over Lake Huron on Sunday. We appreciate your time, sir. I think there are a lot of people listening today thinking, you know, wow, that was pretty awesome that a unit from Wisconsin was responsible for keeping our country safe. I think I'd be interested in doing that. You know, any time these things happen, I think, you know, whether it's different military operations over the course of history, it brings a prominence. I think there's a certain group of individuals, particularly younger people, that say, wow, that's really cool. What would you say to someone who might be interested in a career in the Wisconsin Air National Guard? And if they're perhaps either in high school or going to college, what kind of courses should they be looking at?
Interesting. Well, the first thing they should do is get in touch with us so that we can give them information about eligibility and the process, but more importantly, the opportunities. Mm-hmm. The opportunities that the military lays at a young person's feet are just unbelievable. Those opportunities in the Wisconsin Air National Guard, sure I have a little bias, are even more amazing. Mm-hmm. And it really, in a sense, it doesn't matter what you're studying, because we have so many career fields. We have over 200 career fields in the Air Force and the Air National Guard, and there's probably something that would be of interest to almost anybody, and something that would that they would be good at, and we can help you with that process. I talk to young people all the time, and I say, what do you want to do? And they say, I have no idea. So that's perfect. We will help you. And by the way, that's how I got started in this. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew that I wanted to be in the military. Mm-hmm. The military figured it out for me along the way and kept giving me interesting things to do and opportunity to develop. And we'll help you find what you're good at. And along the way, if you join the Wisconsin Air National Guard, we'll of course pay you, but we'll also provide tuition reimbursement up to 100% of the UW-Madison rate. So that after 4 years, not only do we pay you when you train, you know, 39 days a year total is the basic commitment. After 4 years, you're debt-free and you've got a bachelor's degree or a two-year degree, you know, a school of your choice in Wisconsin. And I tell you, one of my favorite things to do is to talk to our young people that have been in maybe a year or two. And I walk up to them and I usually ask them the same thing. Tell me, what are you up to?
Yeah.
And then I just listen, because they tell me this great story about, yep, knocked out basic training. I went and got my technical training. I'm getting settled in with my job at the fighter wing. Or the air fueling wing or Volk Field, wherever it is. And I'm going to start this degree at this school in the fall. And then I want to do this. And then I want to do that. And they're just so energized and activated and positive, and that fills my cup. So we have great young people that are taking advantage of that. If someone out there wants to learn more about it, probably the best way is to go to Instagram. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're big on the Instagram or not.
You know, me personally know what the show is. We have the Civic Media. You know, our owner Sage Weil is a IT genius, so he's got us all set up there. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So AirGuard Wisconsin on Instagram is a place to go, or if you just want to go on the regular interwebs, goang.com, goang.com. But our Instagram page, if that's what you call it, I don't know, has so much good information. It's really well organized. Lots of buttons to push. As much as I'd like to, you know, give out my personal cell number for people to call me, because I love to talk about this organization. We'll just stick with the Instagram for now. How's that?
I absolutely can see it. I can see it in your eyes and your voice. This is something that excites you, isn't it? Just seeing, is that one of the most rewarding parts of this job, General, is to see young men and women grow in their careers in the Air National Guard?
Absolutely, it is. And I say this often, but this is a people business first and last. Mm-hmm. And when you come into this organization, you are truly joining a family, the National Guard family, the Air National Guard family, and we grew up together. Mm-hmm. and do amazing things together, and we grow strong bonds over time. And yes, I'm extremely passionate about this organization because I believe in it, and really the reason I stick with it is because of the people.
Have about 3 or 4 minutes left here this morning. We appreciate you being with us, Brigadier General David May from the Air National Guard. I found out before we went on the air that you and I are roughly the same age here. So we were old enough to remember when the first Top Gun movie came out. Now the new one came out. How much of it will we see these Top Gun movies? And by the way, in preparation for today's interview, I sat down and watched the new one because I hadn't seen it yet, and it's amazing. So I'm way late to the party, but it's amazing. how much of what we see in Top Gun is accurate portrayal of what happens, and how much of it is Hollywood?
So like you, I was thinking about watching the movie last night because I haven't seen it yet. And I'll admit, I have a strong bias towards Air Force aviation.
Right.
I've got some good friends that are naval aviators. Mm-hmm. Of course, I grew up on the original Top Gun. There are a lot, in all military movies, there are things that military people just look at and they're like, they didn't quite get that right.
Yeah.
And some are better than others. I think the energy that Top Gun has created, the buzz, is great because we need young people to be interested in aviation in general, whether they want to fly or just be, related.
Has it boosted people contacting and reaching out?
I think yes. I think across the board there's been a bit of a boost. And it also obviously, creates some energy behind military aviation. Mm-hmm. And we want young people to be interested in aerospace, whether it's civilian or military, doesn't really matter. But there's so many great career fields and opportunities in there. And one of those paths to flying civilian or military or both at the same time, which a lot of people do, is through the Wisconsin Air National Guard.
It's a great opportunity. I'm not sure about you, General, but I did not have the president's spokesman standing at the lectern at the White House denying that there were aliens involved in a shootdown on my bingo card this year. I wasn't planning on that.
I think a lot of people were missing that, and there's probably a lot of bingo cards out there that are completely irrelevant based on what's happened in the last couple of years.
General, we really appreciate you making us your first stop after this mission on Sunday. Congratulations to you, the entire 115th of Wisconsin Air National Guard. Very proud of what all you guys do, men and women, and thank you for your service, General.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. If I watch Top Gun, can I come back and we'll talk about it some more?
You have an open invitation to come here anytime you want. I would love to talk about I'm telling you, I'm no Siskel and Ebert here, but I couldn't sleep for an hour after I watched it. It's that good. And I mean, the storyline,
It is very good.
Aaron, you saw it too?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw the new one when it came out in theaters with my family, it is a worthy successor to the original.
I mean, you think, well, how can they reproduce the energy and the excitement? Tom Cruise. I mean, regardless of anything you like, think about him, he did it again.
I'll carve out some time, and I'll let you know. We'll come back and compare notes.
Sounds good. General David May, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. And we're going to come back with our second hour. Going to have Brady Ewing in our second hour talk a little about the NFL draft, what it takes to prepare as a college player transitioning into the NFL. Back with our second hour after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.